B-Pod Studios.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Evaldi set. The 2-2 to Cat. The 1-2 to Castro. And it's off the plate away. Just missed with the curveball.
Evaldi had taken three steps toward his dugout. He thought that was strike three.
By an eyelash. Off that corner. 2-2. And that's lifted in the short right center for a base hit. Correa around third. He will score. Gurriel on his way to third. He's in safely. Jason Castro comes through. And the Astros lead it 3-2 in the ninth.
Two outs and two strikes on Castro. A split-fingered fastball hung up in the zone, and he ripped it. Castro the Astro. And the Astros come back late.
Astros come back late last night because the Red Sox could not put them away. It's really simple what happened there last night. I know that that makes some people uncomfortable to talk about that. I know that the cheerleaders out there today are going to have a hard time talking about these matters, which is the Red Sox bats went extremely cold last night. And we're all sitting here today hoping that that's a temporary condition, that that does not last into tonight's Game 5, because if it does, the Red Sox are dead. Simply put, they don't hit tonight, they're dead, it's over. They win tonight, they win the series. They've got a hit, and they didn't do it last night. Xander Bogaerts had himself a good night. 2-for-3, had the home run, doubled, knocked in two. The rest of the Red Sox lineup last night, not named Xander Bogaerts, went 3-for-30 with one extra base hit in the game, that being the Christian Arroyo triple in the fourth inning, which occurred with one out, and the Red Sox could not get him home.
That killed him.
And not only that, it was Kyle Schwarber and Kike Hernandez who came up after him. Two of your hottest hitters came to the plate following the triple in the fourth inning. They could not get that runner home. And the three base hits of the night, again, from players not named Xander Bogaerts, they only had five as a team. One of them was that triple in the fourth. Two of them were meaningless hits with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, trailing by seven runs. There was no clutch. There was no late. In fact, there was very little offense, period. The Red Sox sucked against crappy Houston pitching last night. Javier, not impressive. The starter, 38-year-old Zach Greinke, not impressive. The Red Sox couldn't hit against bad pitching last night. That's scary. That's scary if it lasts, because that means the Red Sox season's over. If they go into a cold snap, forget it. Done. Toast. See you next year. They straighten out today, they're going to win. They are. But they must hit. It is what has given them all of these wins. It is what has given them their success. Their starting pitching in games two and in games three was excellent from Evaldi and Erod. That helped them suppress what is on the other side. And I really hope that the beast was not awoken last night. That Astros offense, which has been so stale and stagnant, I really hope that they are not going to come alive now and hit the crap out of the baseball going forward. Because that has been a big part. That's been the story in this series. The Red Sox have hit. They've actually gotten some really good pitching as well. The Astros really haven't done much of either. And the Red Sox led in both games one and in games four. And they went on to lose those games. They did. Because they couldn't contain the offense at the end in game one. And in game four, they didn't have enough offense of their own. And that is why they're tied 2-2 with the all-important Game 5 tonight. And I'm serious when I say this thing, it feels really bad right now because you felt so good coming off that last game.
Yep.
They're not dead. This isn't over. This didn't shift. It feels like it, but you've got today.
It feels like it because you went flat after that Bogaerts home run.
You can take it all back and still be going to Houston. You can still be in control.
All you got to do is win one down here. Houston. One out of two, and you're moving on.
And you got two shots. And you got two shots down there, and you've already won a game down there. You only have to do the exact same thing you've already done in this series.
I mean, you lose tonight, you get them comfortable, they're going back home, that's where they love playing, now you're in trouble. You got to get this one today. All hands on deck.
And you can talk about Laz Diaz, who sucked, another crappy Major League Baseball umpire who can't get the job done, who's too old and can't keep up. It's been a problem with Major League Baseball umpires forever. They're too old. It takes too long to get to the majors. And then you get to the majors, and it's basically like being a Supreme Court justice. You have a job for life. Why do you think Joe West is still around? These guys hang on to these jobs forever. It's a great gig. And so he stinks. Bad umpire. It was by more than just an eyelash, as you heard on the Astros call last night. That was a strike. That should be called a strike. It wasn't. But let's say it is. Let's say they call it strike three. Evaldi gets out of the inning. Now you've got a tie game, and it's on a night where you have not hit the baseball, where you haven't been able to score runners, where you haven't been able to do much of anything. It's a blessing in disguise that that game came to an end last night when it did. In fact, I think Alex Cora was waving that white flag, and if he was, he'll never admit it. He doesn't want to throw Martin Perez under the bus. But if he were to admit that, yeah,
I have to,
once we lost the lead in that game, I knew we were cooked and I wanted to go home, it's the right move. It's a good thing that that game came to an end.
Keeps your attack moving forward.
And they didn't play another 4 hours last night and blow out their bullpen and then have to come back again on a shortened day today to play the 5 o'clock start tonight in game five. Yeah. It's a better situation they're in. Their bullpen is in decent shape. They've got Sale, who I don't expect a lot out of, but you never know. And I think they're okay. They'll be okay. But last night was just, to me, all about the bats going quiet. You can't hit. You're not going to win. Your manager didn't even feel confident enough going to anybody else in the seventh inning other than to bring in Whitlock for two innings. That's the only thing he felt confident enough in.
Yeah, and you mentioned it too, like the broadcast had something, an inkling to Evaldi potentially being available.
It felt that way with him being out in the bullpen all night.
Yep. Well, you're almost tipping your, I don't say tipping your pitches, but yeah. Kind of giving it away there.
A couple of notes from Fenway. This tweet a short time ago from Chris Cotillo. Some Red Sox notes from some of the pregame happenings over at Fenway Park and manager Alex Cora. Nathan Evaldi is still a go for game six. Not surprised by that. Rodriguez is available today, but they're going to try to avoid him. They don't want to have to use him. Kyle Schwarber is okay. It was just a cramping situation last night. Tell me you didn't get nervous when you saw that happen last night.
You think a hamstring.
You're thinking, oh, no, you know, it's cold. Did a guy step the wrong way?
Just never know.
And also, he claims, and this is, I didn't see this until a moment ago, the Perez matchup with Brantley was what they wanted last night. He got ambushed, as Alex Cora put it today. I don't know about that. I don't know that Martin Perez is ever the matchup you want against anybody. And as we know, he brought Perez into the game last night, and Brantley promptly hit a double to right. So, good matchup there. Martin Perez. Come on, Skip. Martin Perez blows.
Is he available tonight?
Wave the white towel. You got out of there. The night was over. You couldn't hit. Maybe tonight they hit. Maybe tonight they put it back together, and they can. We'll get your calls on this. The Red Sox preparing for a game five, an all-important game five tonight with the Astros before they head back to Houston. Your thoughts on that? Thoughts on the Patriots? Also, Celtics opening the season. So, you know that?
Yeah.
That's on the horizon here.
Hell yeah.
Can you feel it?
Dude, we get four games tonight.
Can you feel it?
Four locals playing tonight.
It's really exciting, right? Woo! Celtics-Knicks tonight, 7:30. Hopefully it's a quick Red Sox game. You can all tune over to that. Milliken shaking his head like, what? It's a joke. It's a joke.
Don't take things
In the Bruins tonight.
And the Revs?
Oh, my God.
Revs are in HD, too, because we have so many games. It's like we're too many games.
We'll take your calls on anything. All of those items.
Call us here for sports.
What do you got? Call us here.
Sports text next.
For sports, calls next at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
Just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have Patriots tickets to give away at the end of the segment for Sunday's game against the New York Jets. Again, that's coming up at the end of this segment. 617-779-0985, the telephone number.
Could we do a little update here real quick from down at Pat's practice?
What do you have?
Your guy in pregame, Chris Gasper. Look at Gasper down there doing the work so he could bring the heat to you for that Pat's pregame show on Sunday.
What's happening? What?
Witnessing practice says that Shaq Mason, Isaiah Wynn, Michael Wenu, all participating. First time that's happened since prior to the Tampa game, so you got to go back a bunch of weeks for that. Also said that Jarrett Stidham is practicing. So Jarrett Stidham starting to practice, starting to throw the ball. So out there in helmet with the team, and I'm sure Gasper's taking notes on Mac Jones' throws so he could combat your takes on Sunday.
My takes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys were going to have pretty good.
Because I defend
pretty
Mac
good
Jones?
In the pregame.
Very
because
combative.
Because you defend the best offensive player on the team? Yeah, I don't think that's a bad
take. I think
I'm
extremely fair about Mac Jones. I don't think he's at all the problem. I do recognize he doesn't have the strongest arm out there.
Right.
I say he's got an average arm, but other than that, he's great. He makes good decisions. I haven't seen a throw yet that he's failed to get to the receiver. He hasn't thrown anybody short yet, has he?
No.
I mean, a lot that I can remember. I know, yeah, not every throw has been perfect, but
all right.
I don't think he's the issue within the offense. And you said it earlier. Who's your best offensive player? I think that answer would have to be Mac Jones.
Real quick here, too.
Real quick. What are we quicking?
I go back to, I had this pulled up because I wanted to get into it with Bert, that Arizona Cardinal thing. I kept saying, we never talk about the Cardinals. Cardinals are sitting there undefeated. They lost their coach. He still went out through for four touchdowns.
Yeah.
I'm like, why the hell is Kyler Murray so good? So here's his receivers. So Andy Isabella, who struggled and thought maybe we could go get that guy, he's still there on the team. A.J. Green is there. He's not cheap.
I think he's played well, hasn't he?
Yes. Caught a touchdown last week.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins.
I've heard of him.
Yep. Pretty good.
I think you're also – you're sort of
– Christian Kirk.
You're sort of discounting Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is unbelievable. Have you watched him?
Right.
He's excellent.
But, I mean, he's got good pieces to throw to.
He does.
Antoine Wesley. And we forgot about Rondale Moore from Purdue. Remember we looked at him prior to the draft thinking, oh, this could be the next Edelman.
Yeah.
And then they just injected Zach Ertz into that lineup. So he went through four touchdowns without Ertz being there yet.
All right.
That's a lot of talent.
It's good talent.
That's guys you push the ball downfield to.
Mac and Stoneham, what do you got, Mac?
Hey, I just wanted to call in. And, I was doing a side hustle, doing some food deliveries, and every person that I've delivered to has mentioned how last night the Red Sox were just like – had this mindset where they're just like most of the team is just like they figured, oh, we'll just get a home run and like, you know, just have a good position in game four. And they like, I guess they had this like mindset ever since they got the first grand slam in this series. And now they're just like,
It's who they are, Mac. That's who they are. That's their identity, unfortunately. I don't think you're going to see the Red Sox all of a sudden try and manufacture runs and play small ball. I just don't think that's what they do.
I appreciate the side hustle, actually. You know, deliver a little food on the side and then hold your own little sports talk show like Tyler does with callers when they call
that.
In.
It's a good idea.
And everyone has the same take. Hey, here's your burger and fries. What do you think about the Red Sox last night? Well, I think since that Grand Slam started, you know, like they have this mindset now, like, hey, we're just going to mash. It's a good take. Everybody has that take? I think he's a little, being a little facetious, right? What are you just sitting there?
I don't know. I'm just letting you finish your thought here, which is.
What do you think he is, Uber Eats driver? Well, side hustle, right? Delivering food. You're not thinking like, hey, here comes Jim Lauf.
All right, let the record reflect
bread truck.
That I took what he had to say. I took what Max said, and I discussed a little baseball point there, and then it went to some other direction. And
I understand.
It had nothing to do with me.
I understand.
It had nothing to do with me whatsoever.
I heard it.
Tony's in Fitchburg on the umpiring last night. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Tony.
I just got a quick question here. Are there any repercussions for these umpires that make these terrible calls? Not just the one last night, but throughout the whole league. I mean, it's frustrating when you see that an umpire basically, I think, cost them a game or a chance to win the game. Is there anything they can do?
You know what? We've talked about this before, and I think it normally results in assignments for like the next season, if anything. But in terms of them like getting sat down and talked to, well, they obviously don't make those conversations public very often. And I think they do reviews of performances, but will there be anything, you know, what do you want them to do? You dock their pay? Guy had a crummy strike zone. It's happened a couple of times in this series. And sometimes it benefits you. Last night, one particular pitch really, really hurt you. What repercussions would there be? They're not going to fire them all together, which it seems like that would be a good starting point on some of these guys, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, there's very little punishment or really being held accountable in Major League Baseball. In fact, baseball lags behind other sports, whereas you mentioned it could impact assignments. Historically, it is not in baseball. In the NFL, Hardy, and in the NBA, they hammer bad officials by not giving them playoff games and not giving them, you know, in the NFL, you're rewarded for being a consistent, good official with AFC and NFC title games and Super Bowl games. You don't get an assignment in the playoffs if you were bad. If your review with your superiors is bad. In baseball, over the years, historically, they just put bad umps on playoff series. They just like throw it in the random machine and say, okay, you're going there. And don't forget, there's two extra additional umpires right. in the playoffs. They put them down the lines. And they just like randomize it and throw them out there. There doesn't seem to be that level of holding guys accountable in this sport as there are others. But I can tell you this. Umpires at home plate calling balls and strikes, those days should be numbered at the major league level. It's not going to be possible probably at the minor leagues or, you know, lower levels, whether you're talking college or high school or youth sports. We're not going to go there yet. But at the major league level, I think the days are numbered. I think we're going to see that in the next few years. We're going to see that transition. There will still be an umpire there for plays at the plate, but they will not be calling balls and strikes anymore. HBO Real Sports did a special on this a couple of years ago. They found that 1 out of 3 close pitches were incorrectly called.
I know.
By umpires.
You would think even anything close in the situation, the human element of it for the umpire too. Like you worked all those hours and innings to get there to behind the plate. You're doing an ALCS game.
I think there's some level of a game that resists change in a lot of different areas. That would be a monumental seismic shift in the way the game is governed and officiated and everything else. So, and it's not like this has only been a thing. I was looking at an article earlier that was written like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. talking about the need for accountability and technology. And it was, you know, talking about replay, and pitch clocks and all this stuff. How much of that has been implemented? Well, we got replay. You got a challenge. But in terms of holding like players and umpires and everything accountable for changes in the game in general, it's very slow moving. You're talking about getting rid of like the eyeball on the strike zone. That's huge.
Well, hey, I mean, listen, I'm not against change in the sport. I know a lot of people are. They think the sport is perfect as is. You know, they believe it's growing in large numbers. They like to mock the people that say baseball has issues. You guys, if you seem to be the most upset about it today, that crowd, you guys should be using your platform to really go after your sport for some change. I'm not opposed to it. Is anyone opposed to the going to the robot umpire at home plate now? Is anyone in 2021?
Oh.
No, I say hold Major League Baseball accountable. I'm choosing to hold the Red Sox accountable today for letting their bats go ice cold last night. Hit the baseball and give yourself a chance to win. And then you're not sitting here crying about a missed call at home plate on a strike that was on the black and on pitch FX was more outside the zone than in. You can spend your day crying about that if you want when it was a tie game 2-2. Or you can look at the fact that the Red Sox didn't hit for crap last night. Your choice, but I would advocate and use your platforms today to go hard after Major League Baseball to change your game because they operate at a snail's pace over there. Rob Manfred and company. Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score a pair of tickets to be at Sunday's Patriots game against the New York Jets. Tune into the Sports Hub on Sunday pregame coverage with Bertrand and Gasper. That's me! Begins at 10 a.m. and postgame coverage with Jim Murray and Joe Murray immediately following the game. We've got you covered all week and all weekend long, but if you're caller 10 right now, contest number only, 617-931-0985. You will get your tickets and be at the game Sunday.
Tell Milliken hi. Tell Milliken hi.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Up to date at work.
Rose. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled
it. You'd know it if you
smelled it. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tickets are gone. Thank you. Thank you for trying. Congratulations to our winner.
Thank you.
Going to the Patriots-Jets game Sunday. Sunday at Gillette Stadium. What's the matter with you? Oh, you came in here throwing things. I didn't know if you're upset.
I was in the midday market.
Oh, what'd you get?
Chip, the barbie. I love the honey barbecue.
Honey barbies. It was very big on those honey barbecue chips we have there.
Did you eat that peeled banana that was left on the shelf of the break room fridge?
No, everyone keeps talking about
that.
We
need to talk about this now.
We don't. We're going to go to the Red Sox calls. We're not going to get sidetracked on that, but nice. Thank you. Nick in Framingham on Alex Cora last night. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I was at the game last night. They bring in Whitlock, right? And he gets the outs, whatever. But every ball was hit very hard off of him. We had a ball that was almost a home run to right. We had the hard ground ball and then the liner to Schwarber that he managed to grab. You could tell right there. I said to my buddy, I'm like, he's getting shelled right now. Like, you're one mistake away from getting hurt. They put him back out there. Altuve home run, whatever. You bring in Eovaldi, which everyone's pumped about, going nuts. Don't agree with that call necessarily, but whatever. The call to bring Perez in, what are you thinking? Like, what you were talking about earlier, Cora saying.
You're shutting it down at that point, which is not a big deal. At that point, what the hell?
No, but it wasn't. I don't think it was shut down to that point. You just left him in. Like, you just kept going at that point.
Yeah, which tells you that he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
There's no reason to think this team couldn't mash and come back in from a two-run deficit, like in the ninth. They've done it before.
When Eovaldi came in, everyone went nuts. Like, everybody's going crazy. They're hyped up. And Perez came in. I've never heard Fenway that silent. Regular season, postseason.
Yeah, and Nick, he wasn't afraid to let it get away from them there. How do you know that he was waving the white flag? Because he watched Perez come in for the matchup with Brantley. As he said today, it was for Brantley. Okay? Brantley hits a double. Okay? And now it's a 6-2 game. Like, he brought him in already at 3-2 because that was it. He had to get Eovaldi out of the game. He could not leave Eovaldi in. So who does he go to? He goes to Perez. He's telling us today for a matchup with Brantley. Bull crap, Alex. I don't believe you. You brought him in because you thought at that point, we are not going to extend the night. We are going to save our bullpen. Our bats haven't done crap tonight. We've sucked in this game, and we just lost it. We gave it our best shot. We gave it the Whitlock for two innings. We gave it Eovaldi, and it was the plan backfired. Our shot to win already happened. No one to cut your losses. He cut the losses last night. Give him credit for it. He saw it. We all should have seen it. He cut his losses. He knew they had lost the game, and they did. They lost the game. It was over. They struggled mightily at the plate in this game. And their plan of preserving that one-run lead blew up in their face. The loss had already occurred. And he's good enough to see it. So that's what I think. I think that's how it played out. So good for him. Good move, Alex Cora. And I think they'll be in a better position to win today's game and regain control of the series. Joe's in Worcester. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just real quick, wanted to shine a little light on some positives from last night. You know, despite Laz Diaz struggling and, you know, the whole blow up in the ninth inning, the crowd got to Greinke real quick and he crumbled. And that was, you know, anybody who took the under on innings pitched with him really won big last night. I thought Pivetta came out and pitched great. And it looked like, you know, pretty positive game at first, other than the bats being quiet. You know, we go up 2-1 and kind of a pitcher's duel from there, but, you know, just tough loss.
Was it a pitcher's duel or did your bats just go cold?
Well, the bats went cold, you know, but yeah. Like I said, I thought Pivetta pitched well. We pushed a lot of 3-2
Pivetta counts. Pitched really well.
Every time there was a 3-2 count, the whole stadium was up and going crazy, you know, getting after the other team. And thought it was good up until things kind of fell apart.
I think two of the biggest moments, like from last night, was the Royal triple, couldn't get him in. And you brought it up to start the show. As bad as the Eovaldi non-call strike three, it was the J.D. Martinez one. Like, okay, that changes things. You get two runners on with one out instead of two outs with the guy still left on first. That, you know, those are big momentum changers.
I thought that Schwarber and Hernandez let the team down in big ways last night. You know, obviously being back-to-back in the lineup. It happened in that bottom of the first inning before Bogarts got the chance to hit the home run after the Devers walk. So Devers works the walk there. Good on his part. And then Bogarts hits the home run, and you still have two outs in the inning again because of Schwarber and Hernandez, who gave you the two quick outs. Then you've got Bregman throwing that ball away. So you catch sort of a break there. And then there's a guy who comes up at the end of that inning who we haven't really talked about a lot today, and that's Hunter Renfro. Do you feel like Hunter Renfro's giving you enough right now, offensively? Because he had a chance there with guys on base to do damage, and he couldn't at the bottom of the first following that.
Royal gives you more.
And I mentioned the fourth inning, where I think you got let down after the triple because Schwarber and Hernandez were two quick outs after that triple, and you had a guy on third with one out, couldn't score him. So I thought that those two key guys in the lineup sort of let you down in the early first half of that game last night with some opportunities to at least get on base early in the first. They didn't. And then the second time through, they have a guy standing on third and they can't do anything. And Hernandez did have the one hit last night, but it was, again, a meaningless, one of the two meaningless hits with two outs in the ninth.
Doesn't mean anything at that point. And this isn't a pile on Hernandez because obviously he's been outstanding. It's really just more of a statement on how, okay, if he's going to have an off night, other guys are going to need to step up.
Recognize what has changed
in
that game versus the other matchups so far. Rob is in the car. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey, listen, so here's something I thought of the other day, and I haven't heard much about it being said. A lot of controversy on should we have had Sale gone game one. But my big thing is game two, you got an 8-run lead in the second inning with Eovaldi pitching. He's only thrown 30 pitches so far, which is essentially a bullpen session. Why would you bring him back in inning three and not just take him out there and then you've got him game four, game seven? To me, that made the most amount of sense, and I don't know why nobody's really talking about that. Again, 8-0, 30 pitches thrown, looking at the third inning. Go to the bullpen then, bring Eovaldi back, potentially game four, game seven, if needed. If not, game four and then game one of the World Series.
Okay, because they're not going to do it. Because you still have to account for the days in between when you went out. I mean, he went out through his full pregame routine and warm-up to go out there and pitch on the mound there. And by the way, in game two, you haven't won a game yet. You have to do everything in your power to protect that lead. And please, everyone, stop forgetting who it is you're playing in this series. You're not going to pull him early in that game, game two, with that lineup on the other side. You're not going to rely on your bullpen for six innings against the Astros if you don't have to. They'll make you pay. I would not put it past them to have the entire night in front of them and be able to produce the runs. Did you see how fast they scored runs last night when you opened the door for them?
It was quick. It really wasn't. It wasn't like bang. You know, you've scored them in the fashion of grand slams. You know, four run dingers.
This
like,
team,
they just boom, boom, boom.
This team has scored more runs than any other team in baseball this year. I have to keep saying that. I know that you haven't seen that out of them consistently in this series, but they can score runs. They have a great lineup. And last night when they're showing you those very fancy graphics of how the Astros have failed at the plate, I think they're not telling you the story of they've gone up against great pitching. They faced Eovaldi for the amount of innings he pitched. They faced Erod for the innings that he pitched the next night in the next game. So don't lose sight of those things. That starting pitching has been very helpful to the Red Sox in this thing. I got to turn that over to the bullpen all night. No, thank you. You got to win a game at that point. You're down 0-1. Have to tie it back up at that point.
Yeah.
So that's some easy hindsight that I don't even agree with in your 2020 hindsight.
Quick update before we hit it here. Steph Gilmore practicing down with Carolina.
Who cares? So why do I care?
Because all of a sudden the leg's healthy. He's practicing and he's wearing number 9.
Bill's in Connecticut. Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, I just wondered why the three guys, Felger and Maz, and Murray, are picking on Cora.
I don't know. Call them at 2 o'clock. That's 11 minutes from now. Mark in Georgetown. Hey, Mark.
He's got some foresight, man. What up?
What's going on, guys? What's up? So listen,
where
guys,
you been?
Three things to take away from. I've been chilling, man. I've been doing my thing. I know I haven't called in a lot. I'm sorry. Bruin season started, though. So, but I wanted to call in about last night. Listen, three things with these umps, right? One, really quick. Beto, listen, they're not going to hit every single night. Baseball's a game averages, right? You're not going to rake every single night. You got to find different ways to win games when you don't. But as far as the umpires go, one thing, ways I think they can kind of corral this thing in, one, they do have to get rid of him and go to the AI thing. Why? Wouldn't that save them a ton of money right off the bat?
No, because you'd still have an umpire at home plate who would still have to make the calls at the plate when a guy is sliding in. Did a guy make the tag? All of that. There's still going to be an umpire back there for foul tips. Did he tip it? Did he not? All of that.
Yeah, and
there's still going to be an umpire. They're not saving any money. It only costs
money.
Stop crying about the umpires. Yes, it's a game of averages, and the Red Sox averages last night sucked, and it's why they lost. Today's takeaways are next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds. I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Waiting on you, Ace.
All right there, Ace. Ace number two. Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, who invites you to learn how easy losing weight really can be. Proven weight loss starting your very first week with the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox, who have first pitch today at 5:08.
Takeaway today, Zoe, on C-sections.
Some dads have to be like on Valium. Some have to be holding on to a railing when they're watching it. I watched like a C-section take place. I'm like, I could do this. Not C-section, but I could if an emergency in a car.
Did you watch? Did you get on the other side of the curtain?
Yeah.
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 The most jarring thing about the blood or the cutting. It's the way that the doctors so casually will just move organs.
Oh,
and you're like,
yeah.
Whoa.
like the stuff you don't
pick them up and put them on a table.
That doesn't seem right.
And then put
you just get
in.
To push that out of the way.
Yeah.
No. Holy crap!
Yeah. Why are they on a table? How are they going to get back in?
Why do you need that staple gun?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how calm they are. Like just
there's stuff they took out. But
there's stuff they took out and put on the table, and then took the baby out and then put it back in.
Maybe not all that. There's a placenta.
The Scarecrow and Wizard of Oz?
So they put the placenta back in?
No, I took that and buried it under my tree like Matthew McConaughey. I did not. But I cut the cord. I cut all the cords. Loth cut the cord. He's off the grid.
I did not like the amount of resistance in the cord cutting because it wasn't like cutting through a rope. It was like cutting through a sausage.
You could still...
I can still...
You could still feel the
tension.
Yes.
I can...
The snip.
Yes.
It's a snip that's no like no other snip.
There's like a
it's like cutting a garden hose, I would equate it to.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
A warm one, like on a hot day. Real-time temperature.
Turn it up, T-Bone. Degrees. The show's over. Yeah. Felger Mazur coming up next. Enjoy the game there, so.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I will. You know I will.
All right.
Red See
Sox
you guys.
Tonight, game 5, along with a bunch of other stuff. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.